this side today. So I'd like you to begin with everybody standing, and I'd like you to greet three people with good morning. Now, you could say good morning, or you can say zao shang hao, or zao an, or ohayo gozaimasu, buenos dias. Whatever language it is, always give a smile, because that's the same in every language. Glad you're here today. And we want to take a look here as we read there together the prayer. And what we'd like to do today, I'd like you to start off here. Thank you. They're not picking up.
Okay. Let me see. Yeah, it's on standby. There you go.
All right. So let's begin by saying this prayer together. Everyone with me, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now today I'd like to do seven main questions and answers about prayer. One way of, when you read the Bible or study the Bible, it's always good as you're reading and studying to ask questions. And then you look for the answers. This is one method of studying the Bible. And I'd like to also give you an announcement. The end of August, went to our my wife and I have been attending for over 20 years Graceway Church, and it's over in the east side of Kansas City. We were just talking about that. It's 55th Street, but on the east side. This is near 55th Street on the west side. But Graceway is a church that's been there for 72 years. And in 72 years' time, they've had three senior pastors, which is really amazing if you think about it. Three pastors have pastored there, senior pastors. And now, there are other pastors that serve with the senior pastor, and for the past 19 years, I've been one of the pastors there. And the Lord began to burn our hearts about this church here and where we could serve the Lord here. And so I went to the senior pastor, Jeff Adams, the end of August, and I wanted to talk to him about it, and told him that where we believe that God is leading us. And he was excited about it. And I said, we don't want to go without your blessing. And, we've been here for over 20 years, been pastoring for 19 years here through various ministries. And so we really want your blessing. And he was excited. He said, yes, the end of September, starting next 3 weeks, they're having a mission emphasis. And he said, we would definitely want to do that. We want to send you with our blessing and with our prayers, and also that we might, continue to be in contact with you. So next Sunday, my wife and I will not be here, so we want you to understand why. They're having a commissioning service as they pray for us and sending us here that we can serve the Lord here. And we're excited about that. They're excited about that. And so next Sunday, September the 20th, 9 and 11 a.m., is going to be a commissioning service. They're praying for us and where God would have us serve here. We appreciate so much their blessing upon that and their prayers. So I just want you to know that, and that you would also be in prayer for that. We appreciate that very much. You know, 2 weeks ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to go see this movie called War Room. Now, there are very few movies that I can really wholeheartedly endorse. But this is one that I can 100% endorse. This is one of the best movies. One thing that's really interesting, the last 2 weeks, this movie has been number one in the box office. And it's only been in a few theaters to begin with, and they increased the number of theaters. They have no really publicity. It's just been word of mouth. And yet it's been number one in the box office because it really speaks to the hearts of people and the need that we have in this day in which we live for prayer. It's called The War Room because, you know, it's the strategy, the idea that we're in a spiritual warfare. And that there ought to be a place, a prayer room, if you would, a war room, where we are preparing our hearts for this spiritual warfare that we are in. And so the message of this film, of this movie, is that prayer is a powerful weapon. And if you've not had a chance to see this movie, I would encourage you to see it. It just really encouraged our hearts and blessed us to see this movie. And if you have a chance to see that, I would encourage you to do so. But I'd like for us then to take the Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to give a series of messages, 9 messages about the Lord's Prayer as instruction about prayer. As we look in the Bible, what does the Bible say about prayer? So as we begin, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. We come before You. We ask Your blessing upon this service. I pray that You would anoint Your servant and give me the words to say. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, I thank You that we're being reminded here in the day in which we live that we need to have a place for prayer, that we are involved in a spiritual warfare, and we need to have that war room, that place where we can meet with You and from You get the strength we need each day. I pray that You would speak to our hearts and give You thanks and praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I'd like you to consider this question. What is this prayer? We often call it the Lord's Prayer. It's in Matthew chapter 6 and in Luke chapter 11. But actually, as you look at this, this is the Lord Jesus teaching His disciples how to pray. So we could call this teaching disciples prayer. Or we could call it the Lord's model prayer as an example of how to pray. Really, the Lord's Prayer is found in John 17, where He opens His heart. Jesus opens His heart and prays. We really see the Lord's Prayer in John 17. So let's call this the Lord's model prayer, teaching us as His disciples how to pray. Then the next question, number 2, what is this prayer setting? Where did this take place? In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, we see that it was called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus came as the King, and you could call this His inaugural address. The Kingdom of God, what should be like? And right in the middle of this sermon, He talks about prayer. It shows the importance of prayer in God's kingdom. And so in Matthew, we see God's expectations for prayer. And then we come to the book of Luke. And in Luke, we see man's need for prayer. Look with me at You know, Jesus prayed many times during His life here on the earth. He prayed for special occasions before His baptism, before choosing the 12. We see Him in prayer. We see Him in prayer also before His sufferings in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then He also prayed, on the cross. We hear the prayers of Jesus. But then prayer was also His daily practice. It wasn't just special occasions, but it was His daily practice. So we see in Luke 5 and verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He had special places of prayer where He would meet daily and pray to God. Now, if Jesus did that, how much more we need to do that? You know, yesterday my wife and I drove down to Joplin. Our granddaughter turned 9 years old, had a birthday party for her. And, one thing I really admired about our three sons, Tarl, Tim, and Jonathan, they all have special prayers they give at their birthday parties for their children, thanking God for that child and praying for them and praying for them for this new year. They just turned 9 years old. To me, that's been a special prayer to hear those prayers. And yes, we need to have special prayers, but we ought to have these regular prayers that we meet with God daily. Then we see also that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished praying, one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And so from that, He taught them this prayer, teaching disciples how to pray. Now, to me, it's interesting. He said, "Teach us how to pray." Didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to counsel." Now, counseling is important. We often need counsel. Didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to preach," and preaching is important. "Lord, teach us how to teach," and He was a master teacher, and teaching is important. The thing the disciples were so impressed by Jesus was how He prayed. And the thing they wanted most, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so He gave them this model prayer to teach us as His disciples how to pray. The third question, what is the place for prayer? What is the place for prayer? Well, first of all, there is a place for public prayers. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 13, Jesus said these words, "My house will be called a house of prayer." Now, that's one thing that whether it was the tabernacle or the temple or the church, that His house would be known as the house of prayer. This is a place where God's people pray. And there ought to be a place for public praying, corporate praying, praying together with other believers. And so we see in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. "And when you pray," it's kind of the contrast to that, "do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues." That was places of worship there the Jews had that day. "And on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you that they have received their reward in full." All right? It became, to some people, they just love to stand up and be seen praying in public. And that's the extreme. We ought to have public prayers, but not just to be seen by others. That's the only reward you get. That's not enough. But Jesus wants us to learn the place for private prayers. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, we just read this. "And when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." we need a secret place of prayer. Now, that could be a closet. And in this movie, The War Room, it's a closet. Now, our home, our closets are pretty small. It's pretty hard to fit in our closets. But they had a big closet. But even then, she found that closing the door, there were other distractions. She had to get rid of some of the stinky shoes that were there. They smelled too much. So she had to get rid of some of her shoes and move them out of that closet. But it could be a closet. It could be a storage room. It could be a dining room, a living room, a study room. You can even pray driving your car, or riding the bus to school or work. Although, please do not close your eyes. Keep your eyes open then. But to have a place where you meet, just like Jesus had a place where he would meet with God in prayer. It was, as you see in this movie, it was her favorite room in the house. The number one room in her house, her most favorite room, was a place where she met with God. And so we need to have a place like that where we can meet with God in prayer, wherever that place may be. It may be a different place, but we need to have a place like that. Think about that. I saw today Kurt Franklin, I think is if I remember his name correctly, if I'm saying it right. But anyway, after he and his family saw this movie, they turned their treehouse, the children turned their treehouse into their war room, their prayer room. And they posted their prayers around their treehouse as they would pray for different things. So whatever place that would be, have a place that we can call our prayer room, our war room. And so that's very important. Now, I know we live in a busy day. And I know there are a lot of distractions we have today. Well, there's always been distractions. This is Susanna Wesley. Now, if you know Susanna Wesley, she had 19 children. Now, back then it was common to have a lot of children. She was from a family of 25 children. She was the youngest, 25 children. Susanna Wesley, we know two of her sons are very famous, John Wesley and Charles Wesley. Many of our hymns were written by them. But Susanna Wesley, can you imagine 19 children? And she tried every day. She would have a time when she'd meet with God in prayer and in reading the Bible. And you see this picture of her. Sometimes she had a signal to her children. She would take her apron and put it over her head. And that was a signal to her children, do not disturb me. I am in prayer. I'm praying right now. And, you know, maybe that's our prayer room, just putting an apron over her head. But having a place where we put out our distractions and we focus on meeting with God. So that's what we need, a place of prayer. Whatever that might be, that we find that place. And then the next question, question number four. What is prayer? And we need to understand, what is prayer? Well, first of all, Jesus tells us here that prayer is not babbling words. All right? It's not babbling words. And we see this here also in Matthew 6:7, which we read. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. I have some Catholic friends. And I often watch them doing their prayers and Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace. They repeat, repeat, repeat words that they think by repeating these words that they would be heard. Others often repeat words over and over. I remember as a child, small child, having been taught a prayer when we would sit down for a meal. I don't know, maybe some of you have heard this prayer before. I don't know, maybe you've heard this before. But we would pray a prayer. God is great. God is good. Thank you for this food. Amen. Now that is good for little children to learn that. It was a model prayer. All right? I remember going to a friend of mine from high school. He was a Christian. He was in his 20s. And we sat down to eat, and he said, you know, do you want to pray? And I said, yeah, it's your house. Why don't you go ahead and lead us in prayer? And he prayed, as a 20-year-old, he prayed that prayer. God is great. God is good. Thank you for this food. And I didn't say anything, but I thought, you know, that's a 20-year-old. I think you should grow beyond that prayer. You know, that prayer is not just repeating words. It's not just babbling. All right? So whatever prayer it is, we need to understand what prayer really is. Prayer is talking from my heart to God's heart. Think about that. It's talking from my heart to God's heart. And we see this in Matthew 6:8, which we read. Do not be like them who are babbling, just repeating words with no meaning, that are meaningless, not from the heart. But he says here, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. What does that mean? God knows our heart. And we need to know God's heart in prayer. We need to find out what God's will. And we pray for God's will. We pray for God's heart. And so in prayer, we're praying from our heart to God's heart. And that's what prayer should be, not just babbling words. And then the question is asked, how to begin prayer? How do you begin prayers? Well, I think the key to prayer is the heart attitude. Now, Jesus told a parable. And let's take a look at this parable. If you follow along with me, let's read this. This is a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Let's read this together, everyone. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So when we think about how to begin our prayers, the most important part is the preparation of our heart. That we come to God with a humble heart. Just like these two Jesus referred to in this parable. The tax collector, the Pharisee. As he came to prayer in the temple, the Pharisee stood up where he could be seen. And his prayers, you notice, I thank you that I'm not like other people. And he probably, you know, looking around, robbers and evildoers and adulterers. He wasn't looking up to God. He was looking around at others or at himself. And he talked about what he does. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. All right. His eyes weren't on God. He's looking around at others. He's looking at himself. But his eyes were not upon God. But look at the tax collector. Even though they were despised by others, but look at his prayer. He would not even look up into heaven because he felt so unworthy. And he said these words as he would beat his breast, as he would feel unworthy. He said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And with that attitude, that's really a key to prayer. That we come to God with a humble heart. And then Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We come to God with a humble heart. We come to God with a clean heart, confessing our sin and coming before Him with a humble and a clean heart. So this is a key to prayer, our heart attitude. How do we approach God? With humility, with faith, also with a pure heart. Then another thing about coming to God in prayer, as we come before, you think about the throne of God. We're coming before the throne of God. We have to come through the front door, through Jesus. Now, Chinese culture talk a lot about the homen, back door. And a lot of people think about the back door. You know, I can come before God because my good works are more than my bad works, or I do more good than I do bad. They think somehow they can come in the back door because of that. There are some who think, well, my parents are Christians, but let me tell you, there are no grandchildren in heaven. They're only children. If you have that, thank God my parents were Christians, that I had that opportunity to have Christian parents. But that does not get me into heaven, having Christian parents. You can't come in the back door. Some would try to come in the back door. Well, I go to church. I read my Bible. That's good, but that's the back door. You cannot come in the back door. There is only the front door. And Jesus makes that very clear to us. We see here, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by or through, except through me. No man comes to the Father except through me. We can only go through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He rose again to show that He conquered death and sin. And He is the way, only through Jesus. Chinese culture, another word that's very important is guanxi. Guanxi, relation. And it's only through Jesus Christ, having a relation through Jesus Christ, that we can get through the front door and to go before God the Father. So it's very important. We must have the key and we must go through the front door. And then question number 6. To whom should you pray? To whom should you pray? What's interesting, we see the first mention of prayer to the Lord God. Look with me there at Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. First mention of prayer in the Bible. Genesis 3, we see how, you know, in the garden, God spoke with Adam and Eve in the garden. They walked with God and talked with Him. That was really prayer, but they did that physically. But after they were cast out of the garden, here is the first mention of prayer. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. Now, Lord in your English Bibles, L-O, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, refers to the name of Jehovah, or Yahweh. This was a personal name of God. And God revealed that name to them. They would have a personal relationship with God and could call Him Lord God, Jehovah, Yahweh. And so people called upon the name of the Lord. And that's how prayer began. People would call upon the name of the Lord. But not just this name, Jehovah or Lord. You know, it's interesting that you can study the names of God in the Bible. And there's much that can be learned about the names of God. He's called the Lord who heals. The Lord our banner. There are many names of God. But He also revealed Himself to Abraham as the Almighty God. To Almighty God. We see in this verse here, Genesis 17:1, the Lord appeared to him, Abram, and said, I am God Almighty. That's El Shaddai. El Shaddai. God Almighty, the Creator God, the All-Powerful God, the Omnipotent God. And we feel many times our weakness. We feel many times, I don't know what to do, I can't do. And yet we come to God, we cry out to Him, the Almighty God. Abram was 99 years old. God promised him a child. He said, how can this be? And God revealed Himself to him as the Almighty God. God can do all things. And so as we come to God in prayer, this is a good name to remember. God, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how. I'm praying for a miracle here. But You're the Almighty God. We call upon His name, God Almighty. And then we come here to this prayer to the Heavenly Father. In the New Testament, it's revealed to us a new revelation that we can call upon God as our Heavenly Father. And so we see in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, our Father in heaven. How can we have become God's child? John chapter 1 and verse 12, yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. It's only when we believe in our hearts, the Lord Jesus, that He died for us, that He rose again, we call upon Him to be our Savior, then we have the authority to become children of God. We call Him our Heavenly Father. You know, it's important to remember that this is a relationship, not a religion. Right? We call Him our Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. When you look at the Lord's Prayer, really, that's in John chapter 17, it's interesting to read that prayer because four times Jesus says these words, Father, Holy Father, Father, Righteous Father. Just like there's a special relationship. We call Him our Heavenly Father. We come before Him in prayer. Oh, Father, our Heavenly Father. But you know, God wants our relationship to even be closer than that. That we're His, dependent upon Him as His children. So I want you to see this other name. It's a very special name. Abba Father. Abba Father. Now, look at these verses. This occurs three times in the Bible. Abba Father. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 36, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before He is to be crucified. And He calls out to Father. This time He calls Him Abba, Father. Now, Abba is an Aramaic word. It was kind of an international language at that time. It's really like saying Dad or like in Chinese, Baba. We cry out to God, there is an intimate relationship. We draw close to God. He's not only our Heavenly Father, but He is our Heavenly Baba. Abba Father. And that is what we see in this. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Paul says, and by Him, by God's Spirit, we cry out, Abba Father. And then Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, because you are His sons, because we are His children, God sent the Spirit of His Son in our hearts, and the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. You know, my father is 82 years old now. But I'm thankful that he has good health, even though my mother passed away a couple years ago. I call him regularly. Dad, how are you doing? I often ask advice too. You know, never too old to do that. And prayer is crying out, Heavenly Dad, Heavenly Baba, I need your help. Your child needs your help. And so, here's how we begin our prayers. Here's how we pray our prayers. And then question number seven. What happens when you pray? Yes, God answers prayer. And thank God He hears our prayers. We cry out to Him. God answers prayer. But I want you to see there's something more important that happens than that. Because I want you to take a look at this. I'll tell you this story here. Isaac Newton. How many of you have heard of Isaac Newton? Very famous scientist. If you've studied science, you should have heard of his name. He was a Christian. He believed in God. He was one of the greatest scientists who ever lived. And he gave a witness to his faith in God. I take my telescope. I look millions and millions of miles into space. But I can see more of heaven and get closer to God than I can when assisted by all the telescopes on Earth. So when he lays aside his telescope, he goes into my room and shut the door, get down on my knees in earnest prayer, I see more of heaven and get closer to God than with all the telescopes. Isaac Newton was a scientist. He studied. But he realized that he, in his prayer room, could get closer to heaven, closer to God, than looking through any telescope. This summer, we went to Big Bend National Park. And they had a star party. And they had all these telescopes set up during the star party. You could look up and see, you know, right way out there in the middle of nowhere. And the sky was so bright with all the stars. It was beautiful. And you looked at those stars, you felt like you were close to heaven. Looking at those stars through all those different telescopes that they had set up. But you know, when we get into our prayer room, our war room, we can feel even closer to God than that. James 4, verse 8 says this, come near to God and He will come near to you. As we draw near to God in prayer, we feel and sense the presence of God and He comes near to us. But prayer not only draws us closer to God, another thing that happens is prayer changes us. Now, at the end of the movie War Room is this verse, which in any day, our country, as people of God, we need this verse. Please read this verse with me together. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Let's read these words together. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, prayer, you begin to discover this, prayer is not changing God's mind about something. Prayer changes us. We come to God very impatient. God, this is terrible what's going on now. Please do something about it now. We're very impatient. And in prayer, God teaches us patience. He answers, but His answer may be yes, it may be no, it may be wait. Because God knows better than we do. And so prayer begins to change us. It changes our hearts. We're upset about somebody, we begin to pray for them, and God changes our heart toward them. Prayer changes us. And then the third thing I want you to see about prayer, and this is very important to understand this. Prayer is not a religion. We're not just saying prayers, but a relationship with my Heavenly Father. All right? Prayer is a relationship with God. Just like the guanxi. Chinese, the word guanxi is so important, you can't do business without guanxi. You know, family is so important, that family guanxi. Well, guanxi is also important. Our relationship with God. You know, when you share your testimony with others, I often share this. You know, this is not a religion. This is a relationship. With my Heavenly Father, through His Son, Jesus Christ, this is a relationship. Do you have a relationship with God, with the Heavenly Father? There are two things I really want you to get from this message. The first thing is we all consider, do we have a relationship with God? There may be somebody here. You've been thinking, I'll go in the back door. I go to church. My parents are Christians. I try to do good things. You cannot get to heaven through the back door. It's only through the front door, through Jesus Christ. And confessing Him and receiving Him as your personal Lord and Savior. So the first question is this. We need to consider, do I have a relationship with God? And then we need to develop that relationship, that we draw close to Him. He's not only our Heavenly Father, but He is Abba. He is Baba. And then the second thing I want you to take away from this message is that prayer is important to us. It's also important that we pray together. And I'd like to encourage you to have a prayer partner. Now, I thank God that I have two prayer partners. One, a man who is older than me. He's kind of like my father. He's about 80 years old. And my father lives in Pennsylvania, so it's not as easy to get together with him as it is with this other brother. And he's like a father that we share each other's heart, and we, once a week, we call each other, we get together, and we pray together. But we have a close relationship, but we also pray together. He is my prayer partner. But I also have another prayer partner who's younger than me. And I think it's good to have maybe somebody who's older that give you feedback, help us out. Maybe someone younger that you're maybe imparting life to and helping. And this is my son, Jonathan. I love all my sons. But Jonathan's been through a lot. And one thing of which his oldest daughter drowned. And so he is my other prayer partner. And once a week, even though he lives in Joplin, we pray together. So I have a little gift, if you'd like to come up and get a little card. On one side it's in Chinese, the Lord's Prayer. On the other side it's in English, the Lord's Prayer. And you're welcome to take one of these. Come up and take one. And we want to encourage you that we have a close relationship with God through prayer. And that we find someone that can be our prayer partner. If you don't have a prayer partner that helps us be accountable and pray for us, encourages us, I would like to encourage you to find a prayer partner. Maybe there's somebody you could call or go up to a brother or sister. I think it's better for a brother with a brother and a sister with a sister, or even within your own family. But find a prayer partner. So here's the card. on one side in Chinese, one side in English. I'd like to ask you then that we would, in closing, we would stand and say this prayer together. Please stand. You know, as we're going to be singing a song here in a moment, I'll be standing up front, if off the side here. You're welcome to take a card here. But if you do not have a relationship with God, I invite you to come off the side here. I'd be glad to pray with you or one of the other leaders of the church here. And it's very important you have a relationship with God. If you don't have a prayer partner, I encourage you, maybe you go seek out a brother or sister and ask, could we be prayer partners? Let's say this prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.